Well, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of The Pulse. It's going to be a great day today. Our week is already off to an incredible start, and I hope yours is as well. I'm Shay Wilbur in Pastor Troy's seat. But don't worry, Pastor Troy is going to be joining us in spirit today. It's not going to be just me chatting to you for an hour, because I know you guys come here because you actually want to hear from Pastor Troy. We know that. It's okay. It's okay. We know that. And so I just want to assure you that Pastor Troy will be here in spirit. We're going to be actually showing an interview, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but one that you haven't seen yet. So stay tuned, because it's really good. But listen, today we have some powerful ministry updates. You know, the Bible says in Psalms to rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And for us, that is not just a verse. That is our mandate as a ministry. That is what we do. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And before we get to the interview that Troy has, that Pastor Troy has, we're going to be giving you some really exciting updates of what we're doing in the world, of physical things that we are doing, physical needs that we are meeting. And when you partner with us, you help us meet those needs. So I'm going to share the story of a newly rescued girl. We're going to be showing you some of the incredible work that we're doing right here in our own backyard, feeding families in need, as well as an update from one of our ministry partners, none other than Brian Bolt. We love him, and he actually sent us a video. He's got a team heading to the Amazon, and we're helping to support them. And that's another thing that we do, is we link arms with other ministries and help them be the hands and feet of Jesus and help supply them and fund them. So we have a really cool video from him as well. We're going to show you in a minute. But first, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm doing great. I love everything that we're doing. Isn't it amazing how God has just like opened doors?
It's crazy.
And how we are being the hands and feet of Jesus, and how Troy talks about if the church doesn't show up, no one will show up, or who's going to show up. So I'm just so excited for everybody that's tuning in. We have Argentina in the house. I would say Argentina.
Argentina.
Colorado. We have Oklahoma. We have New Zealand.
I think I saw Africa on there too.
Africa. People from Africa. I just love our Uganda and our rescue, our forever homes in Uganda.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Do not forget that when you comment, when you share, when you send us an emoji, this is how we get to share and we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And one comment, one share can change someone's life. So if you anytime want, send us a little shout out, we will be able to give you a little shout out.
Yes. Let us know where you're watching from and all of those things. And yeah, as Rebecca said, like, we love to encourage you to share this on your own social media feeds, because who knows, maybe someone on your own friends list, someone within your sphere of influence needs what we're sharing today.
Absolutely.
And I talk to people all the time, Rebecca, who are just shocked at the work that we actually do. And people who say to me, like, man, I've always wanted to partner with ministries that are actually doing it, and I didn't know where to start or how to get involved.
And we've had, right, a lot of testimonies that say, hey, we didn't even know that you went live, but my friend posted this, and wow, I'm now a stage three or a lifetime partner
at ODX.TV.
So it's really, really nice when you don't know what someday someone's going through, and today's person or interview could change their life forever.
Totally. And so we just want to let you know with that, listen, if you need prayer, we have a 24/7 prayer line. You can call 877-413-0888. That is also where you can call to get more information about us. If you just kind of landed here and you're like, who are these girls? What are they talking about? Who's Pastor Troy? Well, listen, call that number. We'll give you the whole rundown, the whole spiel. That is our 24/7 call center. You're not going to be connected to some people in some other country who aren't really connected to us. This is our people. We actually just built a brand new call center. We're going to have to get some new footage
I'm so excited of what God's doing.
We're going to have to give.
So happy for them.
It's amazing.
I know.
Our call center is so incredible, and we love our team there. So shout out to all of them who are watching.
We love you guys.
We're so grateful for you. And so if you need prayer, call that number on your screen. You can also go to troybrewer.com and click on give. Or if you want to sow in the snail mail, you can do that too. You can write to PO Box 3775. Burleson, Texas, 76097. So those are just some quick ways you can get involved with us. And of course, last but not least, join us on ODX.TV as a stage two or stage three partner. So ODX.TV, that is our hub where all of our content gets loaded up. Pastor Troy's interviews, TV shows. We got a bunch of new stuff coming to ODX.TV. And if you partner with us, especially at the stage three membership, you have access to not only all of our content, but any of our conferences that we stream live and so much more. So join us at ODX.TV. Check it out. And if you're already liking, if you're like, oh, these people seem like my tribe, you're going to like it over there. So make sure you check it out after the Pulse. Hang around while we're on the Pulse right now.
I like what Pastor Troy said in our pastor's meeting, that there's a lot of things happening and Pastor Troy is not literally present, but we are all taking action and stepping into our kingship and doing what God called us to do. So that's what we're able to do, multiple things, and what you're about to testify what happened this past weekend.
Yeah, man, there's so much that the Lord is doing. So at this point, let's move into some of the testimonies of what God is doing in and through us. So first of all, we've had a food bank here within this house for over 30 years. That's really how a lot of this ministry, even the rescuing ministry, started, was through a food bank. And so just this week alone, our food bank serviced 2,688 individuals, 52 zip codes. They gave out over 72,000 pounds of food, and we had 44 salvations. That's one weekend, guys. That is one weekend here in Texas. And what an incredible, incredible thing that that is. And so there's an organization called Operation Blessing that actually we partnered with them, and you'll hear it in the video. We partnered with them for years, and they actually came out to our food bank and they filmed, and we wanted to show it to you guys. So take a look at this.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Follow the Food. We are here in Joshua, Texas at Open Door Ministries Food Bank, a partner of Operation Blessing. It's 6 a.m. The volunteers and the staff are rolling in, but who has already been here and for quite a long time? The food recipients. They've slept overnight in their cars, and we're going to hear some of their stories and just see how massive the need is in this area. So you ready? Let's go.
We started this food bank 35 years ago out of the back of my pickup truck. We're not doing this to get these people to come to our church. We are doing this because we are the church.
We threw up the drone, the amount of cars that were just in line. I had never seen anything like it.
You know, people are desperate, people are in need, but the body of Jesus is answering the cause. The very first food outreach we ever did, the food came from Operation Blessing.
Wow.
And we've been partnering with you guys for 35 years, and it's been the grandest partnership that we've had with anybody.
Well, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're gonna meet Shai and Will. They're the family we're gonna hear their story today, and they said, go ahead. Just pop up, open the trunk and see their sleeping arrangements last night. Wow, this looks comfortable. Oh. Okay. How has receiving the food helped you and your family?
It's definitely a big help. It takes a lot of stress off my shoulders. It allows me to pay for other things like keeping like my car fixed, stuff like that when it goes back, getting oil changes. That kind of stuff can get really expensive. So it's taking a burden off.
And when you come, you're not just picking up for your family.
No.
Who else are you picking up for?
So we're here, we're picking up for us, we're picking up for mom and dad, and then we're also picking up for Ashley, which is our son's best friend's mom. She's got three kids, and so we're picking up for her as well, and we're going to drop that off to her. And we do that every time we come, because with her working, the hours doesn't allow her to be able to come out here at nighttime and stay, and then in the morning, it's too much. So it's just easier that I'm here, two birds with one stone.
Yeah. She's working.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of misconception that we were just talking to the food bank director, Chris, and he said there could be a lot of perception of, oh, people aren't working.
Oh,
in large
no,
part,
that's not the case at all. No.
People are working, and yet it's difficult to make ends meet with the cost of living being so high.
Yeah. So you have to think about, like, the cost of living is not equal up to the cost that people are making, right? Minimum wage is now a loaf of bread and, you know, a gallon of milk. And by the time you're doing that first hour, that's all you've bought is that thing, right? Because the price of food has also, you know, risen. So with the cost of everything, it's a lot. You have to make the determination if you want to pay for your rent or if you want to pay for food, if you want to pay for your car, which we've had the, you know, had to deal with, of either paying the car or getting food. And so I feel like thank you is just not enough, but it's the only word that I've got, because the amount of times that we have had to cut sacrifices and make them, when we came across, you know, the food bank, right? It's a thing now in the house. Like, it's a saying, like, oh, we're getting low on food, you know, money's tight, trip to Joshua, right? So now it's a thing, like, you know, yesterday at work, he was telling people at work about it. And so, like, we tell people about this place. We tell them because, you know, out of all the places that we've gone, this is the one that is, I mean, welcoming. It's the one that actually provides. It's the one that's there.
I'm just so thankful that you were able to come and receive the help that you needed.
Me too.
To know that you're not alone, that you're loved, and that you're seen. God loves you. He cares for you.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let me give you a hug, and we'll connect later.
Okay.
It was nice meeting you.
Thank you so much.
The idea that food insecurity was tied to people with no job, that used to be. Now it's not that way. The Alice Report is showing that people, they're asset limited, they're income constrained, which means they're employed. So what you're seeing now is people literally having a job, whether they're renting or owning a home, and they still can't make ends meet. We just see the need out there is so massive. That's why we do what we do.
We are the body of Jesus, and this is what Jesus looks like to somebody who is hungry, if you carry his name.
Oh, yeah. How much did you get?
Like a whole pile.
A few.
And that's what we want to do, man. We want to represent Jesus in how we do this, which means we should give away more food than what they thought. We should be better to them than how, you know, they thought we would be, and give a quality of food that make people have dignity and go, wow, thank you for this. We want people to drive away going, this didn't come from Texas, this came from heaven.
Man, so cool to see that video. I love that Operation Blessing put that together. And it's interesting, too, to hear the personal stories from people.
Absolutely.
And how, you know, people ended up really needing that. And I love that we can help meet that need. I was watching that and just thinking, I got to bring my six-year-old out.
We need to do that.
I got to bring Shiloh out there and help, because it's just what a cool way to teach kids and just demonstrate how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And, you know, another ministry that we partner with is Pastor Brian Bolt.
Oh, I love
and
them.
His team. And so they're getting ready to do a big outreach in the Amazon. So he sent us this video. We wanted to share this with you guys as well. Take a look at this.
Pastor Troy here with Victoria. We are purchasing a whole bunch of food and supplies to take up and down the Amazon River, preaching to villages, doing crusades in these villages. We're providing food, resources, and we couldn't have done it without you. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank your church, thank you, thank your ministry. We are actually going to a village that's never heard the name of Jesus, and we're believing that the whole village is going to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Wow. A village has never heard the name Jesus. That's crazy.
Wow. That is such a good opportunity to plant the seed. Mm-hmm. And what a better way with giving food and feeding the need. I just love what we get to partner with.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. It is so cool. So that, we'll be praying for you, Pastor Brian. Can't wait to hear the testimonies that come out of that trip. That's going to be incredible. But at this time, guys, I think we're going to wrap up this ministry update, because we have updated you on a lot. And I know a lot of you are here because you want to hear from Pastor Troy. And we know that, as I said, we know. So and we want to hear from him, too, because I haven't had a chance to. I mean, we were there when we filmed this interview. But
Correct. A
lot of times when you're in the interview and you're producing it, you're doing all the different things behind the scenes. So you don't actually get to hear it.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Troy recently had the chance to sit down with Gene Bailey, who is Flashpoint TV, Flashpoint Army. You guys know him, and I know a lot of you are probably watching right now. And he got to really share a bit of his own personal story, Gene Bailey did. And they also talked about some testimonies from our partnerships. Not only that, but they even got into the fight against Sharia law in Texas. And you know, that's something that Pastor Troy has been really passionate speaking out against, and really helping to educate us on how we need to come against this and this takeover of radical Islam in America today. So this is such a good interview. You guys are going to love this. Take a look, get ready, and then we'll join you again at the end. This is Pastor Troy and Gene Bailey of Flashpoint TV, live from Nashville. Watch this.
Well, my goodness, my goodness. Welcome back, guys. I'm right here at the NRB in big time Nashville, Tennessee. And it's just a big old rodeo of all kinds of Christian media madness. But it's actually kind of like a homecoming, and it's a lot of fun. It's like, hey, how have you been? And first bull out of the chute this morning, as soon as I walked in the door, I get to go on the Flashpoint show with Alan DiDio, which, you know, that's okay. And then Joseph Z, he's legit. And then, of course, Gene Bailey. Guys, my guest today is Gene Bailey. How are you, brother?
I'm great. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for doing this.
Are you kidding? That's great. I don't ever get to be the guest.
Okay, look, this is going to be way different, probably.
Oh, that's great. Let's do it.
So, okay. All right. I want to just say, first of all, man, when I first got connected with you, it was a really big deal to me. And I'm not just saying that. I'm like, wow, because Flashpoint, you know, like, I hadn't seen, whenever Flashpoint first came out, it was the first time that I had seen an edgy Christian prophetic view of the everyday news. And I mean, we all needed that. We all needed it so bad. So I want to start off and say, thanks, man, because we really did need that.
Thank you.
And we still do. But what the heck? I know you didn't just start off with that kind of success. Where, how did you start off? Where did you start off at? What's that look like through the years?
Wow. You know, I started back in 1978 with this little ministry in Charlotte, North Carolina called PTL with Jim Baker.
Yeah, sure.
And I was a student his very first year of Heritage University.
Wow.
Which quickly changed to Heritage School of Communication. The great thing about Jim Baker is I learned how to do something on the fly. I learned television to be spontaneous. I learned to do things quickly.
I bet.
It's a great training ground. I had a great time. So that's where I started, you know, in television.
Wow.
I went to school there for a year, went right, got hired out of that, worked all through there. You know, my goal was to be a director, and I directed the show, produced the show. I did all this stuff. So, I mean, I've just been blessed. You know, I did that for a long, up through my PTL experience was watching. The benefit of that is not what you think. When I look back at PTL, I think I have such invaluable experience walking through a ministry shutdown.
So you were still there.
I was still there. I was there through the 1988 when I left. Yeah. Was a little over a year after he had resigned.
Wow.
And I got to see the people that I thought were rocks and pillars of the assembly really were not.
Yeah.
And the people I thought that were just, they were the real rocks.
They were the rock stars.
So it was a great education for me to go through that. But, you know, that's as far as television, that's where I got my, you know, I cut my chops on that. And then, of course, I did everything from infomercials to, but mainly I've been doing ministry stuff. I went overseas and did all this third world. I left PTL, went to Fort Worth to work with Copeland because he wanted to start a daily TV program. And I thought, well, I've never built a studio, never built a TV truck. I built all that, built the staff. It was great for a few years, and I left. And I'm like, I want to go where the action really is. I want to go work overseas. I want to be missionaries. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and I want to document it. So I've been shot at. I've been thrown in jail in Africa. I've been all this stuff that, you know, happens to you when you're overseas.
Yep.
And got to really see what it's like to be on the ground when real missionaries, real work. And I learned very quickly how much I appreciate them and how that is not me. But, you know, being able to bring their stories to light was great. I worked with a lot of different denominations and did a lot of work from there. From there went on to work with a crazy guy. I was trying to go work with Billy Graham up in mountains in North Carolina because I'm like, hey, I've done this now. I just want to chill. I want to like, I mean, everybody loves Billy Graham. And I did some work with Billy through the years. So I had a relationship, thought that's where we were going. And God said, no, I'm going to put you with Benny Hinn instead. And so I traveled the world with Benny Hinn for several years. Ended up as COO of him for several years and then left, went through a devastating divorce, lost everything.
Wow.
Lost, started a couple of businesses. Those went down in 2008, in 2009. Found myself sick with hepatitis C and thought, man, this is it. I'm divorced. I gave my life to ministry. I thought, man, this is what's going to happen. And here I am. I got hep C and I didn't do anything wrong. I'm divorced. I'm concerned. My kids were young. I was concerned. Am I going to have, is she going to let me, if she finds out about this, she let me have my kids? You know, there's all these thoughts. How have I failed so bad? You know?
Yes.
And I didn't. I tried all these natural things to do it, and that helped. But I remember the day I called my dad. He was still alive back then. And I just, this is what's going on. And my dad, I'm from Georgia originally. So this Southern man, great guy, love him. After I spilled my whole story of what had gone wrong, he says, well, we're just not going to have that. And he prayed. And my mom prayed, and she took it to another level. And, you know, 3 months later, I have a clean bill of health. And the doctor says, no, your blood's fine. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, I'd had all these blood tests, how you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to go to this, they call it back then, it was called shake and bake, interferon treatment, where they basically burn it out. It's kind of like chemotherapy to burn this hep C out.
Remember that.
So I was in my last blood test to determine what cocktail they were going to give me. And they said, well, we'll call you back. And they didn't call. And I said, hey, you guys are supposed to call me back. And they said, oh, yeah, I got your blood report here. Yeah, you're good. You don't need to come in. I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? He goes, no, your blood's fine. You don't have hep C. I'm like, okay, can you send me that in the mail? Can you put that in, you know, and it was clean. There's no way that happens. Just the hand of God. So I knew God had bigger things.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. What was the conclusion you came through out of that?
I'm like, there is no healer like Jesus. Yeah. And, I did some health supplements and stuff like that, and I'm sure that had its effect. But look, at that point, I was just like, all I know is God healed me. I don't have the answers. I don't know how he did it, but he healed me. So here I am. Let's do this, God. What do you want to do?
Wow.
So I got married again. I met my wife, you know, and I was going through bankruptcy. I felt like the lowest of the low. I mean, I'm healed, but I got no money. Yeah. I got no life. Here I am in my 50s, and I got I got nothing to offer anybody. And she married me anyway, and we started life again. And then Flashpoint came on the scene, and that was kind of like, where'd that come from? I was doing a show, still do a show, about revival, history of revival, church history. Been doing it for 10 years, still doing it, still produce it. And so my thought was, Troy, let me just go do a tent revival somewhere. I would be as happy as a clam. And I really was kind of hoping that was my future. And then Flashpoint kind of came along. And I just had this idea. I mean, I got a call from my boss. I was working for Copeland again. He'd asked me to help him. And I was running the network at the time. And he goes, Gene, if you don't do something about this election, we're going to lose it. And that was all the direction I got. And so I had these two weird friends. I had Lance Wall now, who was talking prophetic, but he also came from a business side of things. It was a pastor. It was a weird group of his. Yeah. And I had Hank Kuhneman, who's a prophet guy. And they're saying the same things, but from different aspects. I'm like, this is weird. These guys are saying the same. They don't even know each other. So let's do a show. So I put him on the air. And I, you know, big man of faith, I didn't put it on the network. I put it on Facebook the first time. And I'm like, those numbers can't be right. Not that many people are watching. And it was. I mean, God's, I'm not that good, Troy. I mean, I know something about TV, but I'm not that good. I know the difference between something I do and something God says, no, let me smile on this and do it. And that's what he did. So I'm just along for the ride. I stand amazed.
What do you think, since Flashpoint started, what do you think is the biggest, what's been like the biggest catalyst since you started Flashpoint that just you knew it was going from here to there, and then it surprised you again? What were those things?
Well, the first time interviewing Trump was a big win, put us up there. And I met some people at an event in D.C. You have to be careful how I say this. And they came up and they wouldn't tell me their names. But they said, we work in the Biden White House and we watch you every day. And there are more that believe the way you believe inside this administration than you know.
Wow.
And then they turn around and left.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, there's no way. There's no way I could get to that to get to that place. So, I mean, and there have been little benchmarks on the way where you, I mean, you know, people are watching, but then when you get some of these people in powerful places, it's been astounding. So I would say Trump thing took us to another level, but getting invited back and then being on, appointed to President Trump's freedom of religion, the Liberty Commission, that was a big deal.
Yeah, but big deal.
You know, there ain't nothing like seeing somebody saved.
Yep.
There ain't nothing like seeing somebody healed or somebody be set free. And I think when we did our first meeting, probably the biggest thing that I can point to is one of our first meetings. Actually, it was our second meeting. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Mabee Center. And I was just hoping a few people would show up. Well, we had filled up the Mabee Center, and they were turning people away, thousands away. And for our first Flashpoint Live at a real way. And I'm like, and I'm watching people connect with people. Now, this is, we're still in the height of COVID. They just allowed meetings to happen. Not everybody in Tulsa was happy that we were there. We were super spreaders.
Yep.
And, you know, all of these things. And, you know, I'm seeing people connect with people. And they're like, hey, you believe the way I believe. And, you know, they're seeing, I mean, this is God. And people are getting saved.
Yes.
Mario was with us on that one. Mario Murillo. And, man, he gives the altar call. And it was, I mean, they couldn't come down to the altar. They were lined up all the way to the top of the Mabee Center in the aisles to get saved. So then I realized I'm not talking to Christians necessarily, obviously. I'm talking to the people who voted for Trump and don't know why he didn't get it, or they're trying to understand what was this COVID thing and election integrity and all this stuff that's going on. They're devastated. They know something's wrong. And that was part of the revival that we've walked into.
Well, man, you brought language, you brought perspective, you brought solutions. And honestly, man, before all that, all there was just a bunch of griping, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
And I mean, I know a lot of guys in media, and I know a guy that has a world famous podcast, has it's huge numbers. And he just told me, Troy, if I don't get focused and if I don't do some kingdom stuff outside of this, I'm going to go crazy because all I do is gripe about politics.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. But man, there's no focus of mission. There's none of that. And so he's hooking up with me and I'm excited about that.
Wonderful.
But he's just looking for, you know, focus. And I think a lot of people are desperately looking for focus. One of the things I can say, coming through COVID, being a pastor that pastored a church, doing the ministry that we do, there's not a single one of us that went forward. Not a single one of us has stayed open. Not a single one of us has said, we will not participate in this madness, that actually regrets it.
Yeah.
We're all so happy we did.
Yeah.
Lesson learned. And man, dude, we took the heat.
Yeah.
And didn't really know really how to answer a lot of the madness. Just said, no, I know that this is what God's called us to do. But man, you did that. And you guys were such a beacon in the midst of that. Yeah. That was a big deal to all of us, man.
Thank you.
We needed that.
We took our hits.
Yeah.
But we wore them as a badge of honor.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do. Well, I just got back from Uganda, and I was all over East Africa, and then I went to South Africa. And even in Uganda, there was all these people at this hotel. They knew I was there, and they knew that the machine gun preacher was there. And so I've hooked up with Sam, and we do work together. And we're a good fit together, too, man. That brother, anyway. It's one thing to see, by the way, Sam on this side of the world. It's another thing, man, to see him in his element and the kids that he rescues, how that he has 700-something employees, and they're all people that he rescued that were child slaves and now or child soldiers, and now to see them law-abiding citizens of both their nation and also the kingdom of heaven is a really big deal. Anyway, we were all together, and there were some people that recognized my ministry. They knew about my ministry, and we all got together, and I just said, yeah. I said, well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll meet all you guys over there. Just gather up whoever you want to, and I'll come over there and say hi to everybody. And I went over there. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm expecting maybe 3 or 4 people there. There's 20 to 30 people there. And they're like, we see you on Flashpoint.
How about that?
And amazing. It's like, dude, we're in East Africa.
Yeah.
And I thought, you don't see me on this. You don't see me on that. Cause I work hard on those things. Yeah. No, they said that they saw me on Flashpoint. They said, we see you on Flashpoint.
Yeah.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. People, the Flashpoint Army is real. That's probably the number one comment I get from people.
Yeah.
You know, that they understand their role. It's just like when we, you know, partnered with you on the flood victims and getting the relief. They're like, hey, I want to help. I want to get in there. They understand if we can just pull together, whatever that means,
okay,
we can get stuff accomplished.
I've got to tell my side of that story.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my side of the story is I was up near Vancouver, Canada. It's July the 4th. We went over to Roach Harbor, and we're going to watch the July the 4th celebration. Awesome. Incredible. And I had a friend of mine that had this big old boat, and he let us stay on his boat. And it was just like, yay. Overnight, we got the news of what had happened in Kerrville and what had happened in the surrounding area. I have a good friend of mine that has a ministry based out of Luckenbach. And she's actually a J6er, and she has a ministry that's based out of Luckenbach. And so I called her, and she was telling me it's way worse than anybody knows. It's going to be coming out shortly how bad it is. Can you help us? I said, yes, right this second, we're going to help you. So I called my sons. They loaded up our outreach trucks from – we have a food bank in Johnson County, and they loaded up several – all of our outreach trucks with food and went down there just to go see. When they called me – they were like, Dad, you can't even believe. And like the loss of life and the devastation is way beyond anything that we've ever seen before. And they were really freaking out. And my kids have seen everything. My kids have been with me all over the world. You know, me and my 16-year-old boy got kidnapped when he was 16. He's 34. He's standing right over there now. But we got kidnapped in India. We've been shot at. I have machine guns put up on my wife and all kinds of stuff through the years. But they were devastated. They're like, Daddy, this is way worse. So we got involved. When we saw it, we were just trying to decide, what can we do and how can we do? First thing we had to do was we got to be there. We got to be there 24 hours a day. God's going to bring us people in situations, and we're going to have to attack it head on. And then plus, the big deal was that my sons were blown away with. It was there were all these rescuers that showed up from all over the world. And, you know, Texans are just good people, man.
They are.
And they showed up, and they were standing in their trucks, and they were sleeping on the ground, and they were working, and it wasn't coordinated, and so we started working towards that. I was on your show, and you said, Troy, how can we help you? And I was like, yeah, well, just help us, because we need to buy chainsaws, we need to buy tractors, we need to buy skid steers, we need to buy all kinds of madness. You got on there. And I mean, I've never seen anything like it, Gene. I haven't. Now, I would do this. I would do this. But it wouldn't have the impact that the Flashpoint Army had. And I would be willing to do it, but you did it, and you told everybody, just go to my website. And everybody went to my website. That was around, I forget what time your show airs. It was like 8 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah.
And within the hour, my website crashed. All of my payment gates crash. We had so many people that joined us, it totally freaked out my entire team.
Yeah.
They were like, red alert, 911. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And within about a day and a half, we had over $300,000 come in because the Flashpoint Army got activated. We made a special account for that. 100% of that went to Kerrville.
Yep.
And we bought every single chainsaw in the state of Texas that John Deere had.
Isn't that amazing?
And we went to work, and we wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for the Flashpoint Army. We wouldn't have been able to.
Well, glad to be a part, Troy. Glad to be partnering with you, man.
Man, that's a new thing that's happening. You know, me and Alan DiDio and Joseph Zio and Todd Coconato and you, we have this thing where we don't mind sharing each other's platforms, pushing people's toward. That is new.
Yeah.
That's new.
I know.
That kind of covenant friendship and unity within a body is, well, it's needed to be around for a long time. And, bro, you're spearheading it. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Did you know you were going to be doing stuff like that?
No. No. But it just makes sense. I mean, there comes a point, Troy, where either you believe the Bible or you don't. Either Jesus' words are true or they're not. So if I would rather risk it all on his words that are true.
Amen.
And it's like, and I don't say it in a false sense of humility. I know I'm not that good, but I know the people that watch the show. I know their hearts. I know what they want to do. And they're going, maybe I'm older and I can't help, but man, here's $100 to help buy a chainsaw. I mean, and that's what happened. People rally because they're going, this is horrible. All I know is I trust Gene and I trust that guy, Troy, to go make sure it happens. And that's what they did.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left, man. And what's your big thing that you're working on right now, and how can we support it? What can we do?
Well, this year we're working on, you know, my wife has been telling me that we need to be doing more training. I don't want to do that. I don't want to train. I want to do TV. I want to do that. But she was right, you know, like wives usually are. But yes. We are faced in this nation with the enemy is not at the gate. The enemy's inside the gate. He's in the camp. And that enemy is Islam. So right now what we're doing is everything we're trying to focus. Of course, we're still doing television and everything, but we are training people how to combat Islam in America. And it's made us a target. And I understand that, but Christian world does not understand what we're dealing with. With Sharia law is the gateway that's coming in here to open the door up to Islam. And I get pastors that are like, oh, we'll just coexist. We'll get along. No, you're not going to get along.
That's right.
And it's because I get mad and then I have to get over it and mm-hmm. apologize, yeah. repent. But we have to understand, we have to do this together. I have to help you understand what you're fighting. So I started devouring, and Terry does too, that we're devouring. What is Islam? What does it really mean? What is Sharia law? What is the Quran? What is the background? Is there any evidence Muhammad even existed? No, there's not. He's assumed to have existed, but there's no biblical, archaeological, Quranic
really?
Proof. There is none.
I've never heard that.
It's just accepted okay. that it's accepted that he was born in Mecca. Well, there's no definitive proof. Okay, so let's just say he was and all that. Okay, but you can't understand the Quran, and there's so many people say, oh, George W. Bush said 9/11. Well, Islam is a religion of peace. No, it's not.
Right.
It says it's peace when everyone is a Muslim.
That's right.
You know, it's a religion of submission.
Yes.
And they say, well, we believe in Jesus. Well, yeah, you believe in Jesus, and we believe he's coming back. Oh, yeah, he's going to come back as a Muslim and point everybody to Muhammad as the true Savior. And it's like, and people are buying this stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, do you guys not read your Bible? Just read it a little bit. You'll figure this stuff out. So we're training. So all of that to say is we're focusing on training. We want to buy a training center, some land, some property. We're looking at, I mean, we don't have any problem with vision. We got a big vision. And, we want to be able to have a place where people can come in for two or three. I'm not looking to start a Bible school. That's not me. I do want. One of the things that Flashpoint Army did, they didn't even know they were doing it. We paid for law enforcement to help train them in what was going on with Islam.
Wow.
So we had sheriffs from all over the country, all over Texas, come for a small training. And I was shocked how many of them don't understand. They don't know.
They did not know.
And nobody's training
them.
That's
so scary.
Nobody's training them, and they're going, how can I do this? And, you know, we see it with the ICE. You know, I'm like, man, these guys are great. But how do they push back without being crossing the line? Everybody's got a cell phone. Yeah. So there's a lot of training needs to happen. So that's what we're doing. We're looking to expand and buy some land and get that. So that's our future.
Okay. So right now you have resources that people can go to your website. And what are those resources that people?
Well, the easiest thing, they can go right now and get a free download. Just go to fparmy.com, and there is a Sharia cheat sheet, is what I call it, because we have such a misunderstanding of what Sharia law is, and it's on the ballot in Texas, and we have to combat it, and people need to understand. It's just the top 40 or so
tenets
of Sharia law. You know, things that you think you understand that you don't understand. So that's a free download. Just go get it, download. I share it with your friends, share it with your pastor.
Where do they find that at?
Just fparmy.com.
Okay, fparmy.com.
Free download.
Listen, I just want to just bless you and tell you, man, I love you and I'm proud of you. And all of us at ODX, man, we're all proud of you. And again, I get testimonies from all over the world, people saying that they see me on there. My bunch is cross-pollinized by your effect in a tremendous way.
Wonderful.
And I also want to say this, too. I want to talk to all my people. Go and support this ministry. This guy has supported us. This ministry has partnered with us. I want to encourage you to add this ministry. If you're not already a part of the Flashpoint Army, be a part of it. I'm a part of it, and a bunch of us already are. Go to fbarmy.org.
.com.
fbarmy.com. There it is right there. Flashpointarmy.com. Watch it, tune in, and then, guys, support this ministry because they're the real deal. Gene Bailey, thank you so much, my brother. I'm just so grateful for you, man, and for being on. Friends, I'm going to toss over to episode number 6 of our brand new TV show that's called The Counter. It's me and Alan DiDio and Tony Merkel and Joseph Z and a couple of other troublemakers. And episode 6 is all about what's really happening with trafficking. Watch this.
Whenever you're actually rescuing kids, you're not just rescuing them from just the sexuality of somebody else. You're rescuing them from something that is much, much worse than that.
We know that biblically there are geographical locations that there are demonic forces that reign.
Yep.
Take that into the internet age, and there is a demonic, probably multiple entities and forces that are reigning over this industry, and they're literally manifesting that people are watching.
And here's what the Bible says. It says that the compromise will run when no one's even chasing them. But it says the righteous are as bold as lions.
We are going to turn the tide on this thing.
Come on.
And as we turn the tide, it is the spirit of Elijah, because darkness has sown and sown and sown, and it is about to reap a reformation spirit of Elijah that's going to come and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers.